important that you believe that. It's important that you believe that. And the reason that it is important that you believe that is because we are in Jesus. And if we are in Jesus and victory is in Jesus, that means that there's no way that victory can be in Jesus, yet victory not be in us. Can y'all hear me? Is my mic okay? Y'all can hear me good? So, it's a little low. I need it just a little bit more. And maybe that's why I got such a low response. We got to learn how to celebrate a praise. You know how to celebrate a basketball game. You know how to celebrate a boxing match. You know how to celebrate. Can I just be real in here? If your weed man give you more than what you paid for. You know how to celebrate the things that don't necessarily deserve true celebration. But when it comes to the things of God, and when God gives you a word to celebrate, you act like you don't know that it's your place to celebrate. So let me break this down again. If victory is in Jesus, and you are in Jesus, then that means that victory can't be in Jesus without victory being in you. And it don't make no never mind what it is that's coming up against you. Because for real, if you're in Jesus, it's not coming up against you. It's coming up. Now don't hear me up in here. Some of you are too quick to claim what's not yours. Some of you are too quick to claim what's not yours. The attack is no longer on you. See, once you begin to lock into the things of God and learn the Word of God and understand the Word of God, you begin to understand that the battle was never against you. You think too highly of yourself. The battle is between God and Satan. The battle is between righteousness and evil. So when the enemy comes up against you, if you are correctly in God, then he ain't coming up against you. He's coming up against God. And God cannot lose. Go on, clap your hands. That's one of them times where you clap your hands. Yeah, that's a praise moment. Yeah. And when you don't praise him when you should, you'll stay depressed. When you don't praise him when you should, you'll stay confused. When you don't praise him when you should, you'll stay defeated. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I got a problem with people who don't praise but always want to need counseling. I got a problem with that. I got a problem with that because a lot of this is not necessarily nothing wrong with your mental. It's all to do with your obedience. Oh, God, y'all not hearing me in here. Let me go ahead and get started. Listen, we're going to do something new here today at the Unity Worship Center, something that I've never done before, but I don't believe in still in yet, and I believe in truth. Amen. So I saw something that while I was preparing for this word this morning that sent me actually into just spending a lot of time reading it. That I believe this was of the Lord. I believe that I was supposed to find this. And so then I also realized I got revelation on how to handle it. So if you've got your smartphones or your Androids or whatever that allows you to go to Google, please do. And what I want you to put in the search bar is 10 signs that you are spiritually weak. And if you don't have your smartphones or your devices or you don't feel comfortable or trying to keep on looking today, we're going to do our best to keep it on the screen so you can see that. And so I wanted to go down this teaching with you. And what I want you to do, as always, I want you to be blatantly honest with yourselves. For if you are not honest, you cannot be better. Anybody ever ask you how you doing and you lie? You didn't feel any better after you lied. Because just because you said it didn't mean it was true. You're not doing good. You're not doing well. And the reality is, you know, a part of being grown is a part of wanting to be okay. See, it was okay when you was aight when you was young because you didn't have any excuse for that. You was young. You didn't know. But after life has kicked your butt several times simply on the strength of you not being mentally, spiritually, emotionally where you're supposed to be, then this travesty begins to fall on you. Amen? All right. So, 10 signs that you are spiritually weak. Why are we doing this, Pastor? Because if you're going to start over, you need to know what you need to. So See, that's the problem. A lot of times we won't do what the scriptures or the message brings across because we don't feel like that's us. So what I wanted to do today was confront you through something, through another medium, to tell you, for you to see, it ain't just him calling me out. And it never was just me calling you out. If what I was saying happened to deal with you, it was always the Lord. Now listen to this. This is a blessed moment. Don't get it twisted. If the pastor says something that is dealing with your life, and he can't know that that's dealing with your life, even though it kicks your butt, it ought to make you happy. It ought to actually make you even cry. Because though you've been rebellious towards God, though you've decided that you're big enough and bad enough, you don't need any of his instruction or anything, and though you've dug a hole in life for your life, God still loves you so much that he sends a preacher to speak to those that's going through what he's talking about. In other words, if God didn't hear anything about you, you wouldn't hear about yourself. But the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. So God will say to you things through someone that can't know anything about you, just to let you know that you're on his mind, to let you know that he has not given up on you. And what the enemy does is he clutters your mind with so many different things and so many different voices and so many different opinions that you fail to realize there is no way that that man could have known what I'm going through. So it could have only been God. And why did God send somebody for wretched old me? Why did God send somebody for me when I usually don't listen? Why? He sent somebody to speak on your situation knowing that he couldn't have known anything about it, to let you know that he loves you, that he still desires you, that he still, see, because we've been taught this, remember we were talking about this last week, because we play God like we play man, and because we've asked for forgiveness from man and man didn't give us true forgiveness, we don't expect God to give us forgiveness. But you've got to understand, the investment that God made was far too major to give up on you for the little things that you call issues. It was far too major. He's got some long-suffering set up for you. In other words, on his behalf. In other words, he already knew that it wasn't going to happen overnight with you. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now, that doesn't give you a right to go and just operate all crazily. But what it does give you a right to do is say thank you for being patient with me. The Bible says, for he is not slack. You understand all his promises? He will get at you. He's not just stunting. He wasn't just saying that I'm a good and a terrible God and you will face the terrible God just to be saying it. He's serious about taking a look at those that are just determined to operate contrary to him. He's serious about that. But the reason that he hasn't done away with some of us, no matter how vile, rotten, and jacked up we've been, is because there is still purpose for us. There's still a chance for us. And he desires that none of us shall perish, but that all of us see everlasting. You understand what I'm saying to you? So the reason why he ain't slapped you is because he loves you. And he knows that the slap that you deserve would take you out. So he sends preachers. He sends friends. He sends some of the most unlikely people even in your life to talk about him. Some people talk about all of them. We sitting here getting high. Why do you want to bring up God? You thought it was just them being deep. No. Because he can even come into the recesses of your mind when it is being occupied by a substance that is not of him and speak to you in the midst of it and change your whole life. Lord have mercy. That's good news for some of us. That's good news for the one that says, I can't stop. Yes, you can. Because if he can enter it, he can do away with it. Lord, have mercy. And if Satan can enter heaven while God was having a meeting with the angels, then you better believe that God can show up in the crack house. You better believe that God can show up at the liquor store. You better believe God can show up while you understand what I'm saying to you. He's Lord, have mercy. So the introduction of this article says this. It says, when a soul, and if you've got it on your, if you get it pulled up, it says, when a soul is accepted to the body of Christ, he or she begins to grow in the knowledge of the scriptures and doctrines of Jesus Christ. He or she is expected to grow. Somebody say expected. Did you know that you are expected to grow in God? You understand the formula at work that you are expected to grow after so long on your job. So why is it would you think that you're not supposed to grow along in God. And the problem, thank you, Holy Spirit, that's the problem. Most of us have just went along, but we've not grown in. See, most of us go through the series, we just go along, but we've not grown in. When you begin to grow in God, there begins to be a difference on the inside of you. Watch this. Can I just go ahead and say this? When you begin to grow in God, your appetite changes. Your appetite changes, and what used to be good just don't taste the way that it used to anymore. See, when you begin to grow in God, what used to have your attention doesn't keep your attention anymore. Why? Because as you've grown in God, you begin to realize there's something much greater than what you've been connected to in the natural. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The Bible says that we should keep our mind caught on the things of above and not on the things below. This is one of the biggest problems for the 21st century Christian is we are too caught up with the world. We are too caught up with the things that are below. But can I tell you, it is the bomb times three when you begin to operate in a place of God, in the presence of God, in a place spiritually where you understand that God is always there. And so you got to stop dealing with the turtles and start soaring with the eagles. Amen. You know why you don't praise in certain parts? Because that's where he's got you handcuffed. See, if you can sing out, that means you can praise. If you can sing along with, that means you can praise. But when something a student said that actually, you know, gives some dimension to your life and you can't receive it and then cheer on the strength of it, it's simply because you're handcuffed in that area. It is a place where you are dealing with a stronghold. Strongholds are fortified places in your mind, places that's been boarded up and shot way back in the back and nailed up, and that's where your enemy lies. He lies in that stronghold, and that stronghold refuses to let you accept or receive the things of God. And if you can't receive, then you can't grow. Amen. If you can't receive, you can't grow. See, we're getting ready to be done with these elementary principles of Christianity, and we're going to start getting into the meat of this thing, because the problem with the Unity Worship Center is we keep giving milk to folk that should be on me. Amen. Thought crosses my mind. I was watching a movie yesterday called, me and the family was watching a movie yesterday called Radio. And Radio, if you ever seen the movie Radio, he's about this coach, you know, he's about football and all of this. And there's a part in the movie Radio where they're coming out of church, Radio and the coach, and he said, now Radio, you're going to be moving along this year. You're not going to be in the 11th grade. You're going to go on to the 12th grade. And then Radio said, nope, I like the 11th grade. Nope, I like the 11th grade. Everybody. And then he go, and the coach said, well, Radio, but there's nothing moving along. There's nothing with going further. There's nothing, basically he was saying with moving in your purpose and fulfilling your destiny. He said, there's nothing wrong with that, Radio. And Radio said, he begins to do what I see most Christians do. He said, nope, I like it here. He said, I get to read the announcements, and people come by, and Miss Trudy, she shake my hand, and everybody gets there, because you know, Radio had an illness. I mean, he had it's called a learning disorder, an intellectual disorder. In other words, there wasn't nothing wrong with him. He just learned slower than everybody else. But he began to do what I see a whole lot of Christians do. He began to explain why he shouldn't be able to move forward. Because he had found happiness, he had found contentment with being stuck. The problem in the church is we've got too many people that's found contentment in being stuck. And so when you should be up here, Lord have mercy, you find yourself back here. And you're trying to figure out why your career isn't where it should be. You're trying to figure out why your marriage isn't where it should be. You're trying to figure out why you're not married at all. It's because you refuse to come up out of the spiritual 11th grade. And you ain't going to never get what you're supposed to have, because God's not going to give you a blessing for you to curse it simply because you refuse to be more than what he called you to be. Ooh, can I say that again? Stop refusing to be more than what God... That's a right now. Stop refusing to be more than what God has called you to be. I need this Bible. I need this Bible. I need this Bible. In fact, I need to give it back. I need the Bible. Come on. I need the Bible. She can, I can need it all I want it. I can need it all I need it. But until, and she can offer it to me as many times as she wants to. But until I receive it, I will always have a need. Y'all don't hear me in here. I will always, You can need the blessings of God, and God could be saying, here is a blessing for you. But as long as you continue to move contrary, you can't receive what it is that he has for you. And the problem is not that God ain't showing up. It's the problem that you won't stay put to receive what it is that he's giving you. Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord. They ain't gonna show up. But by the time he got there, your impatience had already propelled you to move. Can I just go ahead and say this? Is it possible that your lack of patience has your blessing chasing you down? Your lack of patience keeps you running because there's no faith. There's no faith. You have to learn at the feet of God, which is the spiritual aspect, because this is the most important aspect of the Christian life. And this is the only way a true child of God can know the plans and purpose of God. You can't afford to relax after. Did you hear that? You can't afford to relax after salvation, because the devil, who is our adversary, is always on the move to seek whom he can devour and send to hell. You have to be. Somebody says, I have to be. Spiritually healthy in all ramifications, and being weak can't be allowed to occur. Because things would have gone out of hand before you realize it yourself. Have you ever been weak? And because of your weakness, things got out of hand. And by the time that you realized that they were out of hand, it was so much worse than what you thought it would be. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, and here's what blows my mind. In the street, you know, we always call ourselves real and we keep it 100. And ain't nothing weak about me, but you can get into the things of Christianity and get weak. You was a beast in the street, but you're a lamb in the church. You was a beast in the street, but you're a rabbit in church. Everything spooky. Oh Lord. Being spiritually weak means lacking spiritual strength in God, which can be lack of spiritual growth, instability, or your reason for immaturity. A spiritually weak person is unstable in all ways and can show no zeal for God. To be able to withstand the wiles of the wicked ones as Christians, we need to be able to be spiritually alert. If you found yourself being defeated by the enemies, by the enemy over time, or you see yourself falling into diverse kinds of temptations or going back to your vomit after you have denounced the working of the past conversion, then you need to check your life and ask yourself some questions. So let's deal with that. The Bible says, as a dog returns to his vomit, so does a fool to his folly. So that's what that was talking about when it says, if you are one of those people to continue to return to your vomit. You ever notice that when you have a dog and you see them eating grass when they're not doing well, they're not feeling well, they'll throw up. But if you give that dog 5 minutes in the vicinity of that throw up, and still in the vicinity of that throw up, the dog will go back and he'll lick it up, which is asinine simply because the dog doesn't, I guess it doesn't understand that whatever came out of your body is what's got you sick. Some of the problems with the Christians is we throw up things that have been hindering us for years, but then we turn around and lick it up. Make it plain, Pastor, because I've never thrown up and licked it up. Okay, so you see deliverance, you receive deliverance in certain areas of your life. Watch this. Some of them boys didn't leave y'all. God did you a favor. Some of them females didn't leave y'all. God did you a favor. But have you ever had a woman that you just couldn't stand, or a man that you just couldn't stand, and you don't know how you got this relationship, you don't know how the Joker got into your life, and you walking around singing Deborah Cox all the time, how did you get here? And then finally you get delivered from this Joker or that Jokeress, and the next thing you know, 2 weeks has went by, and you ain't found the love of your life yet, which you shouldn't have been looking. Oh, you know, usually that's the problem with the churches. We lose one and we begin to hunt for another, but the Bible says that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Baby, can I tell you, stop dressing up to go to the laundromat. Stop hanging out in the clubs. Stop doing things that is contrary to the word of God, thinking you're going to get a man of God, because God ain't going to send you a blessing if he's afraid that you are going to curse it. So, So you let this joker go. You've been single for 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks. You've been going, you done went to church, you know, once in the 3 weeks. You done made a half of a Bible study because you showed up on one of them late. And you all of a sudden, you sanctified. And you feel like you're ready. And you healed because you understand what I'm saying to you. And then all of a sudden, love don't come your way. And then there goes sexy Dex from your past. And now you're trying to figure out why you in the hotel with him again. Back in a relationship with him again. Her again. It's because as a dog returns to its vomit, so does a fool to its follies. You knew that wasn't right for you, but you returned back to it because you've been tricked into believing that it's better to have somebody than nobody at all. Even if the somebody cares nothing about you. Are you spiritually weak? Are you spiritually weak? Let's go down. We're going to skip the questions for tonight. Right now, we're going to talk about 10 things that will let you know if you are spiritually weak. And let me tell you this. If you are spiritually weak, you weak, period. Let me go ahead and bless you. I don't care if your bench press 385. I don't care how many responsibilities you take on in life. If you are spiritually weak, you are weak, period. I keep quoting this pastor, and she said, until your love life with God is right, then your life won't be right, period. And so many of us in here, we in the gym trying to make life right. Gym ain't gonna make your life right. We in relationships trying to make our life, the relationship ain't gonna make your life right. You trying to figure out, what is it that I'm missing? What is the void? Why do I feel so empty, though? It seems like I should be smiling, I should be balling, I should be ecstatic about my life, but for some reason, I can't seem to be happy, and it's because the void of God is your void. The void in your life is God, and you miss it, and you will never be okay until you have access to the living water. You're going to always be thirsty. Number one, a sign that you are overwhelmed, that you are spiritually weak, is number one, is feeling overwhelmed. Anybody feel overwhelmed sometimes? Anybody feel overwhelmed so much to the point to where it seems to be a condition? It seems to be just the way that you are. You know what I'm saying? That you're, in other words, you feel overwhelmed more than you don't. And the problem with feeling like that is that when you begin to feel overwhelmed more than you don't, overwhelm stops being abnormal. See, when you begin to feel broken more than you don't feel broken, feeling broken begins to be normal. And that begins to describe why you go through and take so much hell that you take. Because when you begin to feel broken, and when broken becomes just, you become at one with it, you just say, that's just how my life's supposed to be. Then the reality is, if you believe that you're supposed to be broken, and that's just how it's supposed to be, then guess what? Not only will you only be broken, you'll always take whatever comes your way. The world has need of you. The kingdom has need of you. But because you have bought into the fact that you don't deserve better, you don't expect better, you don't do better, and you don't, so you'll never receive better. Oh, God. I'm helping some people in here today. I feel like it. Listen, and I'm not telling you. See, here's my... Listen. Get this. Leader, get this, leader. If it's you, shift it. Because everything that you are connected to will shift with you, leader. You understand what I'm saying to you today? Don't just say, he got a point. No. Do something about the point that I got. Be better. Don't stay broken. Don't stay without hope. Do something about it. Because the problem with this is that you don't genetically, you won't be broken. So in other words, you ain't gotta worry about your child being broken, coming out the womb because you broken. You don't gotta worry about them coming out the womb broken because you broken. The problem is you're going to train them how to be broken as they grow from your womb. Lord, have mercy. Did you know that you can train folk to be broken? You can train folk to think less of themselves. You can train folk to settle. Well, how do you do that? Live it before them. I don't have to wonder why some of my children, decided the streets. They were trained well. It was wrong, but they were trained well. You see what I'm saying to you? Some of you should not wonder why your child dances provocatively when she hears a song on the radio and she begins to try to, you know, shake her butt and move and grind in ways that she shouldn't. Don't get offended. You trained her. She didn't just come out the womb dancing seductively at 4 years old. No, baby, you trained her. She's watched you, and if she hasn't watched you, you're still guilty because you've put her in the company of someone who's trained her. And that's even worse. Lord, have mercy. See? So, if you're feeling overwhelmed, look at Proverbs 24 and 10. Proverbs 24 and 10. And the Bible says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So if you know that you faint in the day when adversity hits your house, you need to go ahead and accept, I do that. Why should you accept that you do it if you know that you do it? Because now that you've accepted that you do it, accepted that you know that you do it, now you can do something about it. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, in your notes. So how do I put that in my notes, Pastor? Some of you are wondering. You need to put in my notes, in your notes, I faint in the day of adversity. When hell comes up against me, I get weak. And then put the Proverbs 24:10. You need to study that. So in the New Living Translation, it says, if you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. If you fail under pressure, that means that your strength is too small. In other words, your spirit is weak. Because your spirit is supposed to be strengthened by who? The Lord. So if you fail, it says here in verse number 10, that if you fail under pressure. See, some of you can't take no pressure. And it's not because it's not because the pressure was so powerful. It's because you don't work out much in the Word. See, you got to read the Bible for more reasons than you just going through it. You'll be surprised, like if you take a walk down the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms every day, you'll be surprised that when hell comes your way, how you all of a sudden have the strength not to buckle. And it amazes me that people that can talk 10 karat crazy on social media be some of the quickest people to want to fight in public, but when the enemy hits you, you fold like laundry. Don't know what to do. You know why you don't know what to do? Because you're not in your Word. And you're trying to deal with something spiritual in a carnal manner. And you're going to always lose trying to, you understand what I'm saying to you, deal with spiritual matters in a carnal fashion. This is why the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So for one of two reasons, the first reason that you should let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus is so that you know that you're always operating in a way that is pleasing before God. And can I just go ahead and tell you this, that if you have the mind of Christ, if you let that mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, not only are you always in the will of God, but you're always in the will of God for your life. How do I know God's will? How do I know that I'm operating in God's will for my life? Do His word, and you are. Do God's word, and you will know that, and you are automatically walking in the will of your life that God has for you. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now, the second thing about having the mind of Christ and not your own, because your mind will get weak. Your mind will punk out. Your mind will say, I can't do it. Your mind will cuss it out and try to justify it. So when you got the mind of Christ, you don't get to say stuff like, He ain't done with me yet. Yes, He does, if you have the mind of Christ. He's complete, so you have to be complete. You don't get to say, He ain't done. He been done with you. He was done with you. He was done with himself. And he was done with himself from the beginning. He didn't need to do anything else. He didn't need to lift weights. He didn't need to get no weave. He didn't have anything. He was perfect from day one. And if you're in Christ, but the problem is, we go to church, but our minds, we got a whole lot of things in our mind that is not what Jesus said in Philippians chapter 2. He told Paul to say this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But a lot of us, we got to be careful because there's a lot of things in our mind. There's a lot of things in our mind. And it shows who's got the mind of Christ and who's got the mind of man. It shows. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, that is one indication that you are spiritually weak. Now let me tell you something. Don't be ashamed about where you're at. Be ashamed if you're not going to do anything about it. Don't be ashamed about where you're at. Be ashamed if you're not going to do anything about it. You understand? We all fall. We all have a hard time. We all break down. You understand what I'm saying to you? The Bible says, find it not strange when you're tried by the fiery trial, knowing that your brethren all across the world, they're going through the same thing. So we ain't tripping on the strength that we fail. We ain't tripping on the strength that we broke down. We ain't tripping on the strength that we found ourselves in a place where we're ready to give up. But what we will trip about is that's where you want to stay. That's where you want to stay. And here's the problem. You have got to break connection with people who refuse to be better. Kevin, don't let me pull you up. Give me your hand, but don't let me pull you up. So this is called resistance. You trying to live your life holy and trying to bring people with you because you're scared to live holy on your own. So when you realize that people in your life and you're trying to be different and you're trying to be better and you're trying to be for God, but the people around you aren't trying to be, and you keep on trying to bring them into the things of God, and this is resistance. This is saying to you that they don't want you. They don't want your help. They don't want to be with God. Then what you've got to do is let them go. It isn't that I love you, but I love me more. It isn't that I don't love you, but I have responsibilities outside of me. And I can't let you rebelling against God hinder me. See, the problem with some of you is I think y'all came into life on a buddy system. And if they don't do it, you can't do it. You know what that is? That just proves that old saying, misery loves company. Gonna be all in hell sharing the cell. Talking about my dogs here. That make no sense. So let me look at number two. If you operate in pride, this is an important one. Look at the book of James, chapter 4, verse number 6. It says, "But he gives more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble." Some of y'all don't have no help because y'all keep saying y'all don't need no help. It's crazy for some of us in here because we've decided that crazy is okay. It says here, I want to read this note to you. It says, just like humility is the main feature that you are born again, pride is also a characteristic that you are not fully growing spiritually. Oh, I got something to say. You're going to like this part. Some of you ain't. A lot of you ain't. When you are always feeling too big to be instructed, hold up, wait a minute. When you are always feeling too big to be corrected, and when you feel that you don't need help in growing in God's vineyard, then you need to watch it and draw back to see if you are not operating in the realm of pride. Because what? Pride goes before what? Destruction, the fall. You understand what I'm saying to you? In different versions it says it'll say destruction, in different versions it'll say the fall. And to fall is destruction. So get this. I want you to understand this. Understand that a lot of you, have you ever just did it the wrong way? Has your world ever blown up? Have you ever just felt yourself like you had been destroyed? It wasn't before you was born. I remember sitting in times in a holdover cell and just thinking about my grandmother saying, "Boy, you're doing too much. I'm telling you, your name, it's everywhere. You know." And I'm sitting over like, "That's what I got lawyers for, Gigi." Pride. Now I'm locked up having to use that lawyer money. You know what I'm saying? Pride. I showed some pride before the fall. You see, I showed some pride before the destruction. You understand? Be careful about your pride. And I love in this note that they made. They said, when you feel like you're too big to be instructed. That's why some of you don't do good in church, because ain't nobody tell you nothing. See, it's my job to tell you that your stuff stinks. That's my job. And I know you ain't used to that because for the last 20 years, you've been venturing churches that the pastor don't really care about what you do as long as you put your money in the plate. You didn't have a pastor. You had a pimp. Pimps want your money. Pastors want your soul. You understand what I'm saying to you? So you come over here and you begin to do things and I begin to see them and I call you out on what I see and you got an issue with it because you're not used to having a pastor. You're used to having a pimp. But you're going to get pastored over here. You understand what I'm saying to you? I got my own money. I don't want yours. You're going to get pastored over here. And what I run into with most people, you know, is, and I'm going to tell you something. Be careful about ready to check everybody, and then when it's your turn to get checked, now you got issue. And the reality is when you begin to buck against instruction, what you're saying is that you got that wrong. It ain't me. Your whole life is falling down around you because of the very thing that I'm talking to you about. But you're telling me that I got it wrong. The devil is a lie. Be careful. And so the next time that I say something to you and you want to buck, maybe you need to just check yourself and go, why am I tripping? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. He just don't stay on my phone dogging me. He don't even call me. So if he's on my phone, he's saying something is going wrong in my life, or I'm doing something, I'm operating in a manner that is questionable or that could be harmful to me, maybe I should just stop and listen before I get all defensive. Because since you should know enough about me to know, I'm not going to call after your first offense. I'm going to call after the 10th so that you can't deny it. I want you to understand that I'm not just picking on you. This is really where you are. But the problem with the 21st century church, the problem with the Unity Worship Center is we're too big to be instructed. And then say some stuff like, I want you to tell me when I'm messed up. I want you to know you don't. You don't want that. Because if you wanted that, it'd be easier for me to do. But I will resist saying something to somebody that's got a problem with being checked. So it says pride is one of the signs that you are not spiritually pride is one of the signs that you are not strong spiritually, and if not corrected and eliminated speedily, you might, get this, lose the purpose of God for your life and miss out on the eternal life prepared for his saints. You can lose the whole boat on this. You feel me? You can lose it all on this pride thing. It's that major. Do you know that relationships can't get straight because of pride? Basketball teams can't win championships because of pride. I mean, this thing, that's why it is the original sin. And it's the most major sin. I mean, it's the sin that got everything pumped out, started off. It's the sin that started warfare between Satan and God. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so be careful when you begin to operate in pride, because you begin to operate in Satan. Lord. Third way you'll know that you are spiritually weak is if you begin to deal in self-centeredness. Self-centeredness. Romans 15:1 says, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. I want to read that to you in the New Living Translation. The book of Romans, chapter 15, verse number 1. And it says, we who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. And then he goes on to say, we must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scriptures say, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. So get this. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about. See, and this is why everybody can't be in leadership. A lot of times people say, Pastor, you're just too soft on people. You're just too, you know. Well, make up your mind. First, I'm too soft, then I'm too hard. Y'all don't know what I am. You're too soft. No. When I begin to understand that you weak in this area. See, even the proud, I know who's proud, so I address them differently. First off, I want to let you know that I love you. You always know you're in trouble. Might be in a little bit of trouble when I say something like, first off, I want you to know I love you. Right? See, and the reason why I say that is because we're getting ready to go down a road that's going to be uncomfortable for you. And what I need in your mind, I'm not playing a game with you. What I need in your mind to know while we're going down that road is that I love you. You're in my office. I'm on your phone. I'm in your inbox because I love you. Not because I don't have anything else to do. Not because I'm power tripping. Not because, you know, I just like picking on you. I'm in your I'm dealing with you because I love you. And this is why your children love you when you discipline. You ever notice how you discipline a child and they go in their room hollering they hate you in the first 20 minutes? I hope you die. You know, in the first, but after about an hour, you understand what I'm saying to you? Where are they at? Right up under you. Because subconsciously they begin to learn that you discipline, your discipline, you ain't never got a whooping and didn't know why, unless it was just abuse. If you got a whooping and it wasn't abuse, you know why. You know what I'm saying? It ain't a time that I went to prison that I didn't know why. They used to kill me, but they got you here for, man, I don't even know. No, sucker, stop. Come on, man. Why they got you in here? Why is your life so jacked up? Man, I don't even. Yes, you do. You know why it's all jacked up. Why you lonely? You know why you lonely. Why you without? You know why you without. So it says, we who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others to do right and build them up in the Lord. This is one of the problems that we have in the church. How many of you are going through something today? I want you to hold your hands up. I want you to keep your hands. Now, how many of your brothers, how many of you, if your brothers and sisters in Christ from this church have helped you, put your hand in? Okay. So for the most part, what we're saying is, and my brothers and sisters in Christ didn't help me. So let me show you something. But how many of you let your brothers and sisters in Christ know you were going through something? See, the other party can't be guilty until you do your part. And what, as a body of Christ, as a church, as a family, we're supposed to be a familia. We're supposed to be a family. And if we're family, then I ought to be able to tell you, hey man, I'm going through something. I'm going through something. And when I tell you that I'm going through something, you should be, your responsibility, you're responsible for having something for me. I ain't talking about your rent. I ain't talking about your gas money. I'm talking about you're supposed to have a word for me. And for what, if you don't have a word for me, then what are we doing in church? 24/7. If you don't have a word, if I call Kenneth and say, man, this is where I'm at, and Kenneth don't got a word for me, Kenneth has let me down. So you study not to show yourself, you study to show yourself approved unto God, but you also study to show yourself ready for your people when they call you. If not, because if you ain't got a word, all you got is the world coming out of your mouth. Oh, Lord. If you ain't got a word, all you got is the world coming out of your mouth. What's the problem with that? The world don't got no strength, but the word gives us strength. You see what I'm saying to you? So, we got to be able to build one another up. And then when if Shamika calls Sonia and Sonia builds her up, what does Shamika now have? Confidence in her sister in the Lord that if I call you, you can help me out. But guess what Sonia's saying? So now that I've helped you, I'm expecting you to have some fruit so that when Sister Brown calls Shamika, Shamika got something to give Sister Brown. Sister Brown can now trust that Shamika has got a word, and Shamika's looking for fruit from Sister Brown so that when Stephanie calls Sister Brown, Sister Brown got some fruit. You understand how this goes on? Because you're building yourselves up. If you ain't growing in God, why are you coming to church? If you're every time I turn around, you're overwhelmed, that lets me know you are not where you're supposed to be in God. That's what this is saying. Because you go to a church that teaches the word. So how are you constantly overwhelmed? Because you're not in the word for yourself. The preacher reading the Bible to you on Sunday and Wednesday nights will not be enough for you to sustain your Christian character. You understand what I'm saying to you? Life is going to happen outside the church, and you've got to be prepared for it. And if you jack it off acting carnal in front of the world, then the world will never come to Christianity because they've never seen Christianity when it comes to you. All they still see is carnality. Thus, you have failed in your responsibility to win those to Christ. Did you bring me a water? I knew I loved you for it. Thank you. All right, self-centeredness. Is this you? Let's talk about it. When you lack compassion towards others and fall into the victim's mentality of seeing problems as everyone else's fault. Everybody in here have been done wrong all the time, and it's on everybody else but you. I know some people that always got something bad to say about somebody, and in the confrontation, they was never wrong. I mean, as far as doing right, they're like a gazillion and none. They've never missed it. let me tell you something. If you're always right, something wrong about you. You're always right, something wrong about you. So, get this. You lose sensitivity to the needs of the people around you.
Oh, Lord.
Have you ever heard that before? You're not even listening to me. They're not lying. They're telling the truth. Because sensitivity means that you listen. You understand what I'm saying? Sensitivity means that you take time to understand me. You understand what I'm saying? You got to have people in your life that's going to be sensitive to when you're going through it, so where they can help, they can listen, hear you, and help you. Oh, Lord. So, you lose sensitivity to the needs of the people around you, and you are not bothered about others, and even the thirst to evangelize is now lacking. Some of you got calls on your life. You knew that you had a call 6 months ago, but that call seems to be fading away. It's not the call that's been fading away. It's you. It's been fading away from the call. You begin to fold to pressure, and the reason why you're folding to pressure is because you're not in your word. That's why he says you should meditate in the book day and night that you might have good success. Let me tell you something. Good success ain't just a car. Good success ain't just a nice house. Good success is not falling victim to depression. Good success is not falling victim to anxiety. Good success is not falling victim to cussing somebody out. Good success. Because we equate everything to money. So good success, we thinking about, sometimes good success is that you will have peace in the middle of a storm. You understand what I'm saying to you? You will have a smile on your spirit despite all the hell that's coming up against you. You've got to learn what success is. Good success is not measured by what's in your bank account or what type of car that you drive. Good success is how you keep yourself holy in this sin-filled world while this sin-filled world is constantly coming against you. Are you successful? And so it goes on and says, check your heart to tell God to heal you from the spirit of selfishness before it's too late. The number fourth way that you'll find, how much time? Oh, I got 20 minutes. I'm good. Number four, how do I know that I'm spiritually weak? Is when your life is absence of prayer and Bible study. You know what? The whole church might be in trouble. Let's see that one again. Absence of prayer life, and Bible study. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions, and you go ahead and lie, because I'm prepared for it, but it's going to do you better to tell the truth. Okay? How many of you pray every day? I'm looking. Keep your hands up. I want to see you. Every day you pray. Okay. Now, how many of you pray for more than 10 minutes a day, every day? Are you deep in here? Now, how many of you are praying and not begging? Uh-oh. Lord, I need, Lord, I need, Lord, I need. Lord, help me, please help me, please help me. Okay. Now, how many of you study your word every day? Every day. Do your word every day. So, I'm going to put your hand up. You notice that all of our prayer warriors aren't Bible readers. It's an old saying that used to go, when you pray to God, it's you talking to him, but when you read the word, it's him talking back to you. You don't know how many times I've opened up this book and got an answer. Sometimes prayer doesn't lead me to the answer. The problem with prayer is that I talk too much. That's why he said, many of you don't know what to say. He said, that's why the Holy Spirit makes groanings and moanings on your behalf. Because some of us are in prayer asking for a car that we can't pay for. Lord, give me the car. Lord, scratch that. Lord, give me a good woman. Lord, scratch that. He's not even a good man. So are you praying for a good woman? The Holy Spirit is scratching that and saying, no. Pray for him to have some manners. Pray for him to not be a domestic violence type of a person. You understand what I'm saying to you? You know, he's wanting something he's not ready for. So I need to pray to get him ready for what it is that he eventually should have. See, some of you pray and you don't know what you and you're trying to figure out, God ain't real because I've been praying for this. But yes, no, God is real because he didn't give you what you prayed for because it would have killed you. You ever ask for something that you thought you was ready for, and then about 3 or 4 months later, thank God that you didn't get it, because it would have blew you out the frame. Yeah, you ought to just go ahead and say, thank you, God. You was, but up until you saw that it was going to rip you, you was crying. Like, God ain't do for me. He don't answer my prayer. And then he showed you why he didn't answer your prayer. And all of a sudden, you're like, thank you, Jesus. I knew it was, you didn't know it was no reason. You was crying for it. If you'd have got it, you'd have been happy with it until it killed you. Jesus. Lord, have mercy. Absence of a prayer life and absence of reading your Bible. Let me tell you something. If you don't read your Bible, it is hard to say that you are saved. Because it's all in here. How you are to live your life is in here. And you can't say, well, I know what's in there. I know how to live my life. Not in me, believe it. Why? Because you don't. Not that you don't know. You don't do it. It's hard for me to believe that you know what's in here and what you should be doing when you're not doing it. You're not selling me on that. So if you want to know God's will for your life, you got to know the Word, because the Word holds the will for your life. You understand what I'm saying to you? So you can't know that you're on point if you don't know the Word. Lord, have mercy. So I'm always scared of a saint that don't study every day. You ain't got no devotional, you don't do nothing. You got no scripture on the refrigerator, nothing. I mean, you just don't nothing right about walking by, it's nothing. you gotta have the Word in your life. Some of y'all gotta go home and put one scripture on your refrigerator. Oh Lord. Your verse of the day don't ever change. Are you short tempered? Uh-oh. How many mad saints we got in here? Are you short-tempered? Proverbs 16:32 says that he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that rules his spirit that takes a city. I'm going to read this to you in the New Living Translation. This is a pretty good one. Proverbs 16:32. Let me help y'all out that don't have a Bible study. Like, there's 31 Proverbs in the book of Proverbs. There's 31 chapters. Oftentimes, most times, you have 31 days in a month. When I was in jail, I began to learn to read the Proverbs for whatever day it was. So today is the, what's today? 14th. So today, you know, before the day is out, I'll read Proverbs 14. Tomorrow, I'll read Proverbs 15. Through the weekends, I usually get started late on my reading, which often bites me, because you need to get the Word in you before you get started in your day. Because by lunch, you done cussed two or three people out of your head. Amen. Truth be told, you done quit six times, you know, in your head. You know. But the problem is, Jesus said, if you think it, you're guilty of it. So we got to kill these thoughts, because we got to be done with being guilty. You see what I'm saying? So Proverbs 16 and 32 says, no, you don't stop talking to him. Stop. Noah, granddad needs to be quiet now. Okay? All right, 16 and 32. If you continue, you know the drill. Grandson or not, you gotta go. 16:32. Better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. This is powerful right here. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. See, because if you're one of those people that you let anger take control of you, you'll say things that you can't take back. Ever been angry and said something that you shouldn't have said? And for a long time, every time you see the person that you said it to, something, they might have forgiven you, but it's something inside of you that goes, I can't believe I said that. This is why you got to deal with that short temper. You understand what I'm saying to you? You know, how you saved and you're still saying that they know how to push your buttons. No, if you're saved, your buttons should be in different places. If you're saved, they shouldn't be able to get to you like they used to. You see what I'm saying to you? And here's what I hate when I hear Christians say, they just took me there. How can they take you there? You're the Savior. How are they stronger than you? Greater, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So is you lying or the Bible? I'm going to put my money on the Bible. It's right. So anger is almost like pride. If not controlled, it will damage things. The anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. Once you see yourself getting angry easily and uncomfortable when you are at it, then the fruits of the Spirit are not manifesting in your life. Anger can lead to sin, and God hates sin. See, you need to understand that, because you need to be at one with your instructor. You need to be at one with your Savior. Whatever God don't like, you don't like it either. But get this, you don't get to like it for the reason that you don't. That's why when in the Bible it says God hates with perfect hatred. So you be talking about stuff and be like, I hate him, you know, because God hates with perfect hatred. No. And so I always use this situation, this scenario, because it's something that is sweeping our land. You know, a lot of people, they got a problem with people that are gay. They have a problem with homosexuality, and you should, because it's a sin. But you don't get to hate that person because they're gay. You got to hate that. You got to hate the spirit on that person. You understand what I'm saying? Because hating with perfect hatred is hating the sin and not the person. Because this person, though they might not be right, is still God's. Oh God, y'all don't hear me in here. You understand what I'm saying to you? And you don't get. Well, why you hate it? I don't know. I just don't understand. That's not. You don't get to hate them because you don't understand. You don't get to hate them, period. You get to hate the spirit that's on them, but you don't get to hate them, and then you don't get to hate. You gotta know the right reason why you hate the spirit. It ain't just enough to know that it's wrong. Why do you hate it? And you can't love what God hates. And it says that he hates what? Sin. Now, how many of you in sin? How many of us are in sin? Now, let's say, oh, can we just take it there? Can we take it there? Can we take it there? How many of you love God? Let me see that again. Hands. Okay, keep your hands up, because I want to see you now. I want to see you. Okay? We love God. But how many of you? Now, keep your hands up if you love God. Don't try to play it off, Kevin. But how many of you love a little sin? Tell the truth, tell me the devil, the Lord knows. How many of you love a little sin? Got your hand up? So now tell me this. How do you love sin, a little sin, and you love God? Can I bless you today? Somebody find me the scripture. What am I looking for? My pastors ought to be on it. I'm going to bless you today. And this is going to... Yeah, so much. Stuck over here with all this power. This is going to blow your mind. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? No one can serve two masters. What? I'm looking for the one. Boom shakalaka. Put it on the screen. Find that, put it on the screen. Let's deal with it. We might not even get back to this. Because this is major. And then I want you to give me Matthew 7, 21 through 23. I want to show you something. And I want you to be honest. I love the fact that you're honest, because if you're not honest, you can't get help. But if you're honest, you can be helped. You see what I'm saying? And sometimes your honesty, even though it's an ugly honesty, is an indication that you don't want to be in that situation no more. You're really trying to get to where you're supposed to be. So though you know it ain't right, you're going to be honest about it because you want better. That's called loving yourself. So I'm trying to get to this. Did you find the scripture up there? Let's put it up there. And then be ready for Matthew 7, 21 through 23. I want to show you something. Because we love God, but we love a little sin. Even if you say, every now and then, I love a little sin. No. I'm going to show you why it don't work. How much longer is it going to be? I need that scripture. If you, look at that, really love me, you will keep, obey my commands. All right. So how many of us love God? Let's get this straight. How many of us have sex before marriage? And if you have sex before marriage, you got to put your hand down. Because he told you not to. He told you in the word that fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you fornicate and you do it willfully, you know you're wrong when you do it, you can't love him. Jesus said, this scripture is actually Jesus talking. It's not me. It's the Bible. It's what, and I'm not knocking you. I want you to understand that. I'm not coming at you. But what I've learned is that the Bible says that our people perish for the lack of knowledge. Hey, amen. There's some things in this book that if you don't read this book fully and thoroughly and seriously, that you will find. How many of you read the Bible and found out how wrong you was? Anybody ever read the Bible and like, oh my God, I didn't even know. But it's in here. It's like Prego. It's in here. It will survive. It will save you. If you really love me, you will keep my commandments. And then I think he goes down about 4 to 6 or 7 verses, and he says at the end, those that love me will keep my commandments. Now, get this. How many of you love God? Come on. Because there's tension. I can feel it. And it's good. Now, you say you love him, but he say you don't. So how do I? Come here, Kevin. You're coming to me, loves me. And you're coming to me because you love me. You're coming to me. Come on. You're coming to me because you love me. And he said, come on. Say, I love you. No, you don't. Come on. You're in sin. Say, you love me. No, you don't. Come on. Come on, you're in sin. No, you don't. Why? Because if you love me, you keep my commandments. And I said, don't let any profane word come out your mouth. And I'm so serious about it. The Lord said, don't let any word come out, profane word come out your mouth. And he says, and then he's so serious. He says, because on one day, you're going to give an account out of every word that came out your mouth. He said, we're going to sit down and talk about it. Hold on, but you love me. No, you don't. Matthew 7:21-23. Okay, we just might pause for ourselves. Just forget it. Let's just learn some stuff. Matthew 7:21-23, for the sake of time. What version you got? Y'all ready for this? It's gonna blow your mind. Alright? For those of us that sin, know we sin, and still saying, but I love them. I want you to realize how Jesus said about this. This is what Jesus had to say about that type of love. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord. How many of you here calls out to God when he gets crazy? Some of you only call out to him when it's crazy, but how many of you call out to him on a regular basis? Now he says this, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Let me read that again. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many of you will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, those who break God's law. Oh, he just got uncomfortable in here. I felt a shifting in the spirit. I gave the dude that needed some money over on the homeless man. I gave him $20 one day. Get away from me. I never knew you. There were some people that needed my help, and I came through for them, and I didn't even charge them. And I told them, they ain't got to pay me back. Get away from me. I never knew you. See, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You see what I'm saying? See, you understand that saying now? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. I did some good stuff, but doing good stuff don't get you in. Believing gets you in. And you, not just because you say you believe, believing to the point to where it changes things on the inside of you. That way we see the change coming on the outside of you. Lord, have mercy. Something happens on the inside of you that changes everything externally. Anyone who listens, let's go a little further. Anyone who listens to these teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds their house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in, torrents, and the floodwaters and rise, and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. Is this like 10-inch? Is this a 10-inch? I like this. I like this. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey, it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. And when the rain comes, and when the rains and the floods come, and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. In another version, it says that when the rain comes, it will beat against the house. It says, and the house will go down, but then it says, and great will be the fall. Do you know why the fall is great? Because not only will you fall, but things that are connected to you will fall with it. Great is the fall. So I love God. No, you don't. Who are you to tell me that I don't love God? I didn't. Jesus did. We just read it. Now, who's going to argue with Jesus? It's kind of like, and see, but you know what we do? We play God like we play who? So, bees, you come into the house, and you got your little side piece over here, and you come into the house, and Larissa knows about the side piece, but she plays dumb, and then you come in, and you say, she says, Herb, the side piece, if you love me, and you say, I love you. I don't care nothing about that. It don't make no difference what I do with her. I love you. Well, if you survive, when I brought this scenario, B looked at me and said, why would you use me for this one? Why? He don't got no. He don't got no side. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's the equivalent of that. And here's the thing. Because we lie to people and they believe it, or we believe that they believe, because sometimes they don't believe it, they just let you believe they believe it because they just tired of going through it with you. I was going to teach on that. I ain't. But because you lie to people and they accept it, you think you can lie to God too, and he's going to accept it. God, I know I've been reading your word. I know I've been reading your word for 10 years and they tell me don't do this, but I do it anyway. But don't you get it twisted. I love you. And God's like, what? You only love me if you keep my commandments. I don't know. You only love me if you keep my... Don't make sure about you love me, but you don't keep my commandments. No, you know what you love? You love what you are handcuffed to. You love what you are loyal to. You hear me? See, since some of us love things that can't even talk. And y'all was lied to when you heard money talk. No, it don't. Money spends, but money don't talk. Some of you fell in love with your money. That's why you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You understand what I'm saying to you? So some of you fell in love with your boo, with your bae. That's why you don't have a relationship with Jesus. My spiritual mother told me that if they love you, they shouldn't want to send you to hell. And let me say this real quick, because don't keep thinking that marriage make it right. You still got a consequence to pay. Did we learn it? Did we learn it? Hard way. Getting married don't, you hear me? We was best friends. But because we had broke the laws of God, it was hell in our home when we got married. For many years, there was hell in our home. You see, and the craziest of things happen in our home because the Bible says don't you defile that marriage, don't you be, you see. But I do believe, because I'm gonna help y'all, some of y'all I do believe that there is a special blessing for people who have been in relationships sexually and then all of a sudden get a word, know that it's God speaking to them in their situation and say, you know what, I'm going to honor that. It's going to be crazy, but I'm not going to touch you again until we are married. And it doesn't mean that the consequence of you doing what you wasn't supposed to do doesn't happen. You're still going to pay some. You got to pay something on that. But what happens is God begins to say, oh, so you heard about me, and then you decided to show me that you didn't mean to hurt me, and the way that you showed me was that you stopped until you got married. I just believe in my heart that God's got a special blessing for people that do that. Because it's hard, right? It's hard. Oh, once you have tasted the sweet nectar of sin. Woo! If it was easy to walk away from, you just walk away from it. If it was easy to stop doing, you just stop doing it. So, I told Miriam, when we said we're going to get married because we're going to burn. The Bible says it's better to marry than to burn. I said, I see us in flames. Stay up at down Richmond until we marry. I tell her. Mm-mm. Yeah, because you know you try to be strong, right? Try to be strong. And we're gonna watch the movie, and then you're gonna go home. We're gonna watch the movie and you're gonna go home. You're gonna watch the movie. When you woo woo woo. I gotta stay away from you. I'm not strong enough. I love you, but I'm gonna kill you. Did you catch that? I love you, but I'm going to kill you. I'm loving you, but I'm going to send you to hell. So I'm going to love you enough. Oh, God, men, I'm talking to you because you ought to be the men of the house as Christ is the head of the church. So I got to love you enough to take responsibility for this relationship and say, nah, girl, not no more. Not till I give you my last name. I love you too much. I love our children too much. I love what we talked about building too much. I ain't got time to be playing these. Because when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child. I sexed as a child. But when I became a man, I stopped doing childish things. So if you got, how many in here with y'all boo obey? And y'all got a plan for the rest of your life. Yeah, well, let me tell you how that plan is. You make sure that it goes forth. Put God in the head of it. Go home today and say, you know what, Lord, we are sorry. Together. You got in it together. Get on that altar together. Whether it's that altar right there or the altar of your house, or up against your bed, wherever. Lord, I'm sorry. We are sorry. And we will not disrespect you any longer. We won't touch one another until we are married. And God, give me the strength to keep that promise to you. Give me the strength to keep that promise to you. Because it's not that I don't want to do right by you. It's just that I've been connected to wrong for so long. Wrong just is hard to walk away from. Amen? So he says this. He says, so go back to 21 through 23 real quickly. Please. I'll show you this real quick. 21 through 23. Oh, I ain't got no more time. Okay, here we go. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, it don't matter that you love him. It don't matter what you say. He does not care what you say. He said, you can say, Lord, Lord, all you want to. We'll enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father. Want to go to heaven? Do the will of his Father. Want to teach your kids to go to heaven? Do the will of Want to make sure that if your head hits the ground tonight, hits the pillow tonight and grows cold, that you are solid, do the will of the Father. Don't relax on your morals. Don't relax because no matter what I do, I love God. I'm telling you, the Bible just told you, Jesus said, I do not accept your love. He said, and what did he say? In one verse, in one chapter, in one book, he said, your praise is of clanging glass, of clanging. He said, it's loud to my ears. I don't even accept your worship. He said, it stinks in my nostrils. So we can't just be saying, no, man, you know, I know I'm with God. No, you're not. No, I'm not. I cannot rest on the fact that I love God and that's that. No. That's going to have me burning in hell. And the problem with this thought process, that I don't care what you said, ain't nobody going to tell me. Yes, somebody can tell you that you don't love God. Jesus did. He's the one. I said no. You can't make Jesus accept a love that's not his to accept. What do you mean? It's an impure love. Those that love me, those that worship me in spirit and in truth. Your truth should show me that you love me. Oh, Lord. So he says this. And you, I don't care what you did. I don't care if you pulled over and helped the old lady with a car when it broke down and it was raining. I don't care. You still ain't getting in. Because you doing good deeds does not get you to me. You doing the will of the Father gets you to me. Now, there is no other way to explain that. There is no clearer way to explain that. No one gets to leave here and says they don't understand that. You understand what I'm saying to you? So now you are responsible. If you had never been responsible before in your life, today it starts. You are responsible for what you heard today. And everything you do after today that is of sin, you don't get to act like you are. In fact, Hebrews 10:26 says, for if you willfully sin after you receive the knowledge of the truth, if you keep on sinning after you know better, there no longer remains a remission of sins for you. In other words, what happened on the cross don't apply to you. You don't get to continue to do what you know you shouldn't do and then think that the cross is coming to you. That you have a cross experience, that you get to rise. No. It tells you in verse number 27 what you can't explain. Well, he says, but what you can expect is a certain fiery trial. That's right, a fiery indignation. In other words, not only are you going to burn, but it's going to be shameful. It's a shameful burning. I'm not trying to scare you. It's in the book. And do you know why 90% of Christians all over the world have a mediocre Christianity, have a Christianity where you know, you really can't tell that it's Christianity? Because they were raised like that. I ain't knocking nobody. But you know, an example? Because you're going to raise some kids like that. God's deeper than just going to church and Bible study. God's deeper than just having a Bible on your mantelpiece. God's deeper than just saying that you say you love God. He's deeper than that. God, is, you have to get in that word, and you ain't got to be a preacher, you ain't got to be a pastor, you ain't got to hold a title, but you do have the responsibility to get in that word. And see, and everybody that goes to this church, you are without excuse, because there is too many pastors, there is too many teachers of the word, and all you got to do is ask a question, you're going to get 5, 6, 7 different answers. You do not have an excuse to be spiritually weak. You ain't got no excuse for it. And so since we're figuring that the first four symptoms is probably all through this church, then you know that you need to go back to your first words. That's what we said at the beginning of this series, right? Get back to God. Amen? Disturbing breaking news. I come to you live today from the Unity Worship Center to report to you that everybody that says Lord, Lord shall not get in the kingdom of God. Did you know that? No matter how good deeds, how many good, yes, Connie, I'm over here live at the Unity Worship Center, and no matter how many good deeds you do, you will not get in if you do not believe in God. And your belief, you don't get to say that you believe. This is what blew my mind. You don't get to believe just because you believe. You say you believe because just because you say you believe. You believe, your belief shows through your actions. Faith without works is dead, but your works to show a faith that's off the hook. Oh, God. So, now I'm going to do something, and I'm going to show you how scary it is. And I hope that I'm wrong. I pray that I'm wrong. If there's anybody in the building who has not given themselves over to our Lord and Savior, we offer you the invitation to come on down here. If you've been thinking for years that you're saved, despite where you are, you've been thinking that you were shoo-in for heaven. That once saved, always saved is a lie from the pits of hell. It's a lie from the pits of hell. Once saved, always saved is that. If that's the case, why did he say, be ye holy, for I am holy? If that's the case, why did he say, come out from what ain't clean and I'll accept you? If you could just do what you wanted to do, and because you got saved one day, then why would he make words that say, you got to be holy because I'm holy? Why would he say that? So, 60% of this church today found out it wasn't saved. How you going to say that? Because you willfully sin. You can't willfully sin and be saved. You can't. That's what the Bible says, right? And you can't argue the Bible. And then I said, if there's anybody in the building who wants to give their life to Jesus, who has not given their life to Jesus, because if you're willfully sinning, that means that you've not given your life to Him. See, giving your life to Him means that you do what He says. And if you willfully sin, then you're not doing what He says. So thus, you're not saved. I know that hurts. I know that ticks you off. I know I might not see some of you next week because of this truth, but I don't care. You can go over there to Candyland Baptist, and it's going to be the same way. And they can tell you all the lies that you want to hear. They can make you as comfortable as you want to be. And guess what? You're still going to hell. I don't care how comfortable you are in the earth, man. I don't want no music. Jeff, please put that down for me, because I want this to be a naked altar call. I want you to understand. I don't want it to be no emotionalism. I don't want any of that. I want you to understand that if you are not saved, you are going to burn in hell. This is the truth. This is what they stop preaching because it's not profitable. It's not profitable to tell you that. You tell people they're going to hell, they're not coming back to your church. They don't come to your church, you don't get the money. See how we've been getting played? What you going to church for, to feel good or to make it in? Why are you going to church? To feel good or to make it, to make sure that your children make it in? Why are you going to church? Did you just come to feel good? Did you just come because you think if you come, you're going in? No. Because I'm going to tell you something else. Everybody ain't going to make it. Everybody ain't gonna make it. And some people don't want to go. Some people don't want to go. If there's anybody who hasn't given their life over to Jesus, then we offer you the invitation to come forward now. Now don't come down here if you know you're gonna go right back to sin. There's now, oh wow. What's he doing? What's he doing? Oh my God, he's cutting it off. He's cutting salvation off, right? No, I'm telling you. You need to make a choice. Choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. Are you going to serve your flesh? Are you going to serve the God of your fathers? The God, you know, are you going to serve these pagan gods? Or are you going to serve the living God? Who are you going to serve? And this is the most dangerous part of the whole sermon. Because everybody in this building, if you are willfully sinning, you are on Front Street right now. Who do you choose? because I come from a place where if you chose wrong, it ain't going to work out good for you. And that was in the natural. So I'm figuring in the spiritual, if you choose wrong, watch out how you walk out of here. Watch how you pick before you walk out of here. Because things could happen tonight that don't give you the ability to come back next Sunday. Watch how you choose. This is the most deepest time of this ministry ever in the history of this ministry is this very moment for everybody that is in here. Why? Because you are choosing one way or another. You walk out of here knowing what you chose. And the reason that that's so important is, remember when Mary was talking, we were talking about this last week, the Bible said, and he said, God said, go get the disciples and Peter. And the reason he said get the disciples and Peter, because remember when they was getting ready to crucify him, and the lady asked him three times, she said, wouldn't you want with Jesus? And he said, no. And she said, sure you wasn't one of them that was with Jesus? And Peter was scared. He said, no. And the third time she asked, she said, what? And he began to cuss. I said, I wouldn't. You know. And he walked away. And so when he said that he wasn't with Jesus, guess what? Jesus took him at his word. And so when Mary came to the grave and saw him, she said, go get the disciples